NPR.
Last week, the U.S. passed the $2.2 trillion Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, or the CARES Act. Among many other things, the bill will increase the money people get from unemployment benefits. And it also includes one-time payments of $1,200 to adults who make up to $75,000 a year.
Claudia Sahm is the director of macroeconomic policy at the Washington Center for Equitable Growth, a think tank. She says that the bill might not have been perfect, but she was relieved when it passed, especially because some of the policies in it were consistent with good evidence and research, including some of Claudia's own research. Claudia herself was one of the economists who advised Democrats in the House of Representatives.
I honestly did not sleep well for several weeks until I woke up in the middle of the night and saw that the Senate had passed the relief package.
But Claudia and a number of other economists said, yeah, this is a great start. This is a huge bill. And it might seem like Congress has just pulled out all the stops. But they also say that the work of policymakers is not finished yet because the economic damage from the coronavirus pandemic could be much worse than policymakers expected when they started legislating that bill. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on The Indicator from Planet Money, what else can be done? We are looking at three ideas from economists, ideas that were not in last week's bill but would still help.
And first up is an idea from Claudia Sahm herself. And it is this: make future payments from the government automatic. The premise here is simple, that you can tether a policy, like those direct payments, to an economic indicator, such as the unemployment rate. So, for example, if the unemployment rate goes up by a certain amount, let's say if it hits 8%, then it would automatically trigger another payment directly to individuals.
Now, as it stands, people will start getting their payments from last week's bill within the next few weeks, or in some cases, months. And Claudia says Congress needs to be ready in case the unemployment rate just keeps shooting up into the spring and summer.
I think there should be a commitment if the unemployment rate jumps, which it's going to, but commit when it jumps, you'll get another payment sometime later in the summer and a third payment towards the end of the year.
The advantage of using automatic triggers to guide certain policies is that Congress doesn't have to spend precious time debating and legislating a new bill if economic conditions get worse. It also means that Congress doesn't have to perfectly predict what will happen to the economy.
Congress would commit to do what it takes. That will be so important regardless of what it is that it takes.
And for payments from the government to people to be effective, they need to reach the people fast, as fast as possible. Right now, the people who are going to get their payments the fastest are people whose direct deposit accounts, the accounts that they have with their banks, are already on file with the IRS. So the government can just directly deposit their money into their accounts.
But there's a lot of other people throughout the country who do not have direct deposit information on file with the IRS. And a lot of them are the underbanked, which means they do have bank accounts, but they do not always use them. Instead, they might cash their paychecks through really expensive check cashing services. Almost one out of every five U.S. households is underbanked. So here is the second idea, and it comes from Michigan State University economist Lisa Cook. Whenever the government is sending out direct payments to people, the government should give people the option to receive those payments using mobile money. And mobile money is exactly what it sounds like, Lisa says.
It's just that mobile payments are payments facilitated by electronic transfers and mobile applications. That's all.
For example, mobile apps like Venmo or PayPal or Zelle. Lisa is proposing that people should have the option to get their money from the government through one of these apps.
So they'll get the money much faster than if the government has to send them a physical check.
And I think that this is a way to keep the economy afloat because the money gets to you quickly and you can pass it on to another person quickly and avoid cash flow problems, avoid bankruptcy.
Plus, there are people who might have moved recently, changing address. And if the government doesn't have a current address, it might end up taking longer to get them the money. With mobile payments, address changes just wouldn't matter.
This is why I'm really concerned about young people, because young people, say college students who are not dependent on their parents' taxes or on anyone's tax returns, they move around a lot. So, and given this crisis, people moved back home, right? Or moved somewhere. They may have moved somewhere else. So they can still get the money because they will have their phones in their hands.
So those are two ideas for how the government can get money to people faster and more effectively. Use automatic triggers for when to send more money and let people get that money on their mobile apps. And after the break, one last idea for how to best help small businesses.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Chobani Oat, made to taste just like milk. It's creamy, frothy, and great with coffee and cookies. But without the dairy, because it's not milk, it's almost milk. New Chobani Oat. Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Adam Ozimek is the chief economist of the freelancer job search site Upwork, and he's also a small business owner. Along with two partners, he owns Decades, which is a cross between a bowling alley, an arcade, and a restaurant in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
We just had our one-year anniversary. It occurred 3 days before the state shut us down.
That was roughly 2 weeks ago. Soon after that, revenues for Decades went to zero. The $2.2 trillion bill passed last week did include almost $350 billion in loans for small businesses. And if a business rehires enough of its staff, then it might not even have to pay back the loan at all.
But Adam says there's a few problems with the bill. One is that the loans will take too long to administer, and small businesses are already running out of time. But also, the bill limits how much money businesses can borrow to about 2.5 months' worth of payrolls, what they pay their workers. But businesses have other costs besides payrolls, like mortgages and electricity bills, so the money would run out even sooner than that.
So Adam, along with John Lettieri of the Economic Innovation Group, came up with another idea. So a small business could go to its normal bank to take out a much bigger loan, a loan roughly twice the size of the business's annual costs. The loan would be for 0% interest, and the U.S. government would insure the loan 100% so that the bank could immediately extend the loan without worrying about getting paid back.
And the loan would be very long term. Businesses could pay back the loan over 20 years or, Adam says, even 30 years, so that their monthly payments would go down by a lot.
So to take a specific example, consider a restaurant that currently has a 5-year debt with a 7% interest rate, and they're paying that every single month. Now, if they can refinance that into a 30-year loan at 0% interest, then their monthly debt payments go way down, like way down. And so that is lower operating expenditures, not just next month, but every month going forward.
Small businesses would be able to refinance their existing debt, which means they'll entirely save the cost of interest payments. And because they get the money up front, it would help them keep paying their bills, their mortgages, electricity, and it would let them keep investing in their business after the crisis passes because they won't be starved for cash after 2 or 3 months of not making any money.
Adam says the reason it's a good idea to extend these generous loans is that this is not a normal recession, when weaker businesses are allowed to fail and stronger businesses might have the chance to succeed.
Right now, almost all businesses are suffering in one way or another from an event that's not their fault, an event they could not possibly have prevented.
You really want to save everybody. You want all these businesses to be intact in a month or 2 months from now when we turn the lights back on for the economy so that we can bounce back quickly. But that requires all the businesses to survive. We need everybody. You can't have, 5 years worth of normal business failures happen in 1 month and expect to bounce back.
There's a lot more to these ideas, and if you want to see those details, we'll post links from Claudia and Lisa and Adam at npr.org/money. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan and fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
If you're looking for more news about coronavirus, NPR has a new daily podcast for just that. It's called Coronavirus Daily, with new episodes every weekday in the late afternoon.